That's because I just switched it while you were gone.
Well, that's what it said. There's no changes. That's what it did here.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world's a mile high.
I might be able to see now.
In the house tonight.
Won't be able to see anymore.
In the cold black top. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion.
I can see you,
chaos.
Man, my inspiration.
Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity.
Hello, welcome everybody on a nice dreary Sunday out there. We're nice warm in here. We've got some, look like fruit pizza and good stuff back there. Save a slice for Brant. But after that, come on in, have yourself some coffee, and come on in. We're going to sing a couple of praise songs to get things rolling here this morning. First one is an old Gaither song.
Oh, Lord, you brought us from a mighty long way, a mighty long stay in the wilderness. Oh, Lord, you brought us through the thick and thin, through the fire and wind, to a better place. You brought us out to bring us in.
There's good old stuff there. We're going to take you back with a nice song here. It's called He Touched Me.
Who is also by the Gaithers.
Shackled by a hand.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. Lift up your name, to call on your Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
Singing with us, you know that that song talks about the saints bowing down and singing, and you know that would our behavior isn't always saintly, but that would be us. So one saint to another, shake each other's hand, welcome somebody here today.
I thought you were doing the welcome, though.
I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, except for I probably should turn on my mic.
Go ahead and do that.
Hey, good morning. Brian and I were just having a debate while we were up here. I'm a little bit upset that we're not all dead, because yesterday was that world was supposed to end. Well, me.
Yeah.
So either I wasn't raptured with the rest of the church, or anyway.
Was anyone raptured yesterday?
Nope. We're all still here.
Raise your hand.
No.
Okay. That's not to make light of anything, but
that
I'm glad the Bible's true and you can't predict when the world is going to end.
Yep. God is still faithful and true, and he's sitting up on his throne smiling at us, going one more day to help your friend come to Jesus.
Yeah, because we all know the Bible says tomorrow is the day. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That was a joke. We should start over.
Yeah.
We should start over.
Good morning. It's great to see all your guys' faces this morning. We're actually happy that you're here. I am happy. I'm not upset at all or anything like that. And so here's the deal. This is what you have to do, okay? Look at the person to your right. Okay, that means you're going to have to stop looking at somebody, right? Look at the person to your right, all the way over. Okay, even if it's a wall, it's okay. And just tell them, I'm really glad you decided to come to church today.
I'm glad you decided to come to church today.
Okay, now look at the person to your left. Look at the person to your left. Okay, I know you're looking at the back of their heads, and that's okay. Tell them, I'm really glad you came to church today. I'm glad you came to church today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we're good now.
We don't have a ton of announcements that we'd like to share up here and take up time during the church service. So please open up your bulletin, look in here. There's actually a ton of stuff in there. If you'd like to be a part of it or be in the know, if you have any questions about this stuff, please let us know. One thing that's not in here, I don't think it's not, is see you at the poll. It's a yearly event where high school and middle school students get together and go to the flagpole. We're going to do it at Glasgow High School flagpole this Wednesday from 7:15 to 8:05. It's a student-run event, and so the student leaders from the youth group are running it. I did order 300 donuts to be there, and so we have donuts, and we say the kind of tagline for us is free donuts and free prayer. And so anybody that comes through can get prayer. There's going to be a notebook for prayer requests if they don't want everybody to know, and they can write down their prayer requests. And again, it's all student-run, but you can, as adults, join us if you'd like and come have a donut and pray with us if you'd like to. For those that are in middle school, there's a van, the church van will be up there, and at 8:05 I will leave with anybody in middle school and bring them down to school. And so if you're a parent, you can bring your kid up to the high school to have a prayer and a donut with us, and then I'll make sure that they get down there by about 8:05. I'll be taking them down to the middle school. So thank you for your support. If you don't come, please just have a prayer that all of that goes smooth. Last year went really smooth, so we'd just like to do that again.
You had me at donut, so I'll be there. All right. Hey, are there any other announcements this morning that you guys have before we move into sharing prayer? Got one right here.
Good morning. Rob, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Life Changers will be meeting on Tuesday, but I will not be there because I have a prior commitment. My daughter is getting inducted to the National Honor Society. So
yeah.
I kind of want to be there for that.
Amy Fast back here. Good job, Amari. I know you're here somewhere. It already talks in here about the baby shower. You guys are all invited. There's no need to bring a gift. Just come. Your presence would be gift enough. So we'd love to have you this afternoon. Also, the kids' Christmas program practice. It talks about kids ages 5 years old to sixth grade. And a couple of weeks ago, I was asking for if it was on someone's heart in this congregation to help out with the little ones, the 3 and 4 year olds. And our dear Elizabeth Shipstead, which I don't see her today, but she stepped forward. So if you have a 3 or 4 year old, you're also welcome to join us next Sunday, and I'll get you more information. Their schedule is way less complex than the older kids, but we'd love to have you. I'm really, really excited, Virginia and I both, for our program this year, Arrest These Merry Gentlemen. It's going to be hilarious, so join us.
Hi, Carla Zerbe here. It's time for Seth and I to put together a new greeter schedule. And so if you would like to be a greeter, you can let Seth or I know. There's also a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. If you're on our list already and you do not want to stay on the list, then let us know also. Otherwise, we'll keep you on there. And a greeter is greeting people as they come through the door, giving them a bulletin, and just letting them see your smile.
I'm Karen Wall, and next Sunday, Pam Marks and I are doing a baby shower for Zoe Campbell and her baby, Tobias, who is about a month old. It will be at my house at 2 o'clock. This shower you can bring gifts to. If you have any questions, please talk to me or Pam.
Great.
Tiffany Granholm here. I've been looking forward to these kids coming to the center, and I think we've all had a lot of fun, and I think it helps out all of the people at Milk River get to have a lot of fun with kids and get experience.
Cool. Thanks. If you don't know, we have a group that every Friday just goes down to Milk River, and it's kids. It's all little kids that go and share little Bible lessons with them and pray with them and worship with them. And so if you want to be a part of that, go talk to Becca. She just does a great job of doing that. And so, yeah. My last thing that I have for you is you'll notice that there is a 3x5 card sitting right in front of you. And this is what we're going to be doing every single Sunday, is I'm going to be asking you to go grab that 3x5 card out, because here's a couple different things. One, if you're new here, we want your information, okay? Hey, how to contact you, talk to you, all that sort of stuff. But the second is this, is that we've really had a lot of fun. And it's been just amazing to us to be able to pray for you during the week. And so as we do that, I just would like you and ask you every single week, hey, would you just write us a note of, hey, how can God be in your life this week? How can we be praying for you? Maybe even share, hey, this is an encouragement that I had this week, a God story. We want to be praying for you. And so you can put on the bottom, hey, pastor only, or you can put on it, hey, I want you to share with everybody. And we just love to be able to pray. I mean, this week we had everywhere from, hey, we need more rain, from a little kid because it was in crayon. I loved it. To all the way up to, hey, I just want my marriage to be better. To, man, can Jesus get into this person's life? To all the surgeries that are going on. And so we do pray for those things. And just to let you know, our goal with those at some point is to get into actually sending out an email with all those prayer requests, and so that everybody gets that, those that are, that we can share with everybody or with the prayer group. And so just be knowing that we absolutely love those, and we want to be praying for you.
And you can even, like, just draw a picture if you'd like. Like, we do go through every single one of them and look at them. So anything that you'd like to share with God or with us or the prayer group, literally anything you'd like, please keep it clean. All right? This is a church. But other than that, anything you write on there, we definitely take encouragement from it. And it's been some of the best prayer time that we've had in a long time, for the last few weeks, as we prayed through all of the notes that you guys have given us. And so it's really awesome, and we thank you for sharing.
And so as the basket comes by today, would you guys just drop those in the basket? And then if you, hey, during the rest of the, during the service, if you guys think about something, there is a box on the information center that just says connection cards, and just drop that in the box, and we pick those up and we pray for those as well. So please, would you just be willing to write that down as that goes. And so this morning, let's pray as a church together. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, God, this is your church. We are your people, and we want to have the right hearts to do the work of your ministry in Glasgow, Montana. God, you've asked us to be a city on a hill, a light that shines everywhere for people to see. God, we don't want to put the light under a basket. We actually want to share it with absolutely everyone. And so, God, the prayers that came in of people seeing the answers to their prayers, God, I thank you for continually showing your goodness and your mercy. God, for the people that their hearts are just pouring out to have loved ones come and know who you are, that they would give their lives to you. God, for the surgeries that have been going on and even the answers to prayer for those surgeries that happened this last week, we've seen. God, your goodness is absolutely everywhere, and we know that we can trust you. In times when we need rain, in times when we can't handle any more rain, in times when we need you to bust through our lives so that we can find time to read and study your word, to find time to spend time with you. God, I pray that you would open up the floodgates on those things. And Lord, huge tragedy even happened this week in our community. And Lord, would you show your goodness in that? God, it's a scary moment when we come to those things, but we've said it before that you really are always good, and that we can find hope and we can find shelter.
Lord, we specifically for today want to thank you for every soul in this room. And I pray, Lord, as we come in here, we can not treat this as the only part of our relationship with you, but like this is our place to grow our soul. And Lord, may we have open minds, open ears, open eyes, open hearts. If we have any of those that are closed or hardened, may you help open them and soften them. Lord, as Seth speaks today, may you move him out of the way and speak through him as we take offering and as we do worship and as we continue to just celebrate our relationship with you. Lord, just let us be aware of the Holy Spirit, be thankful of Jesus, and in praise to you. We love you, Lord. We leave all of this the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
We're going to have the ushers come forward this morning, and I just want to share a little bit about what we're going to be looking at today in our sermon. And so as we take offering, have fun watching this video.
The miracle of mercy. Jesus heals. This is Jesus.
Wow.
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus did many amazing things. He taught everyone about God's love, healed people from their sickness, and even calmed storms. The news of Jesus had spread all around, and many people wanted to come and see what he was doing. No matter where Jesus went, great crowds of people would follow him. Jesus went to his own town, and news spread that he was back home.
Ow!
Soon, the house where he was staying was packed. So Jesus began to preach God's word to the people. Meanwhile, some men heard that Jesus was in town. So they decided to take their paralyzed friend to him to be healed, for their friend wasn't able to walk.
Excuse me.
Huh?
But when they got to the house, they couldn't reach Jesus because of the crowd.
Oh, well.
No!
So they went to the roof and dug a hole right above Jesus.
We got this.
Then they lowered their friend down into the crowd right in front of Jesus.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Jesus saw their faith, so he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There were some Pharisees and teachers of religious law in the room, though, and they were horrified that Jesus would say such a thing. They said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this? Is it easier to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?"
What?
Jesus went on to say that he would prove to them that he was allowed to forgive sins.
Yeah, right.
And so Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home."
Okay.
So the paralyzed man stood up and picked up his mat. The entire room was stunned as the man walked out through the crowd. All were amazed and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." And they believed that God had sent Jesus with the authority to forgive sins and the ability to help the hurting.
Hey, for those of you kids who are still in here, I just wanted to show that to you to show you what you're missing in big church. So, hey, if you're kindergarten through third grade, you can go on and head on out, and you'll have children's church there. For the rest of you that are still here, would you open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5? I love watching every week when all of a sudden there's like tons of holes in all the seats, right? We've been going through probably the last 3 weeks, just looking through the book of Luke together, and we've decided to tackle the Gospels in terms of not who Jesus is or what it says about Jesus, but actually what he says about the gospel. And so this week, actually, I think we get to do a little bit of both. We get to look into who Jesus is a bit and also what the gospel really kind of looks like in our lives. And so as we read this scripture, as always, here's something, my brain kind of works a little differently when I read scripture. I kind of think about what is actually going on. I love to envision kind of the different stories that are playing out in the story that I'm reading, the different characters, what's happening. And so this week, we don't actually have notes, which is a little bit weird for me because I told Brian, I said, the only reason why I love notes is because it gets me back on track, so I'm not like going every which way. And so if I go in every which way, hey, it's your fault. So I don't know. But here's the deal. As you look at this scripture, would you just be thinking a little bit, hey, what does life look like on the mat? What does life look like off the mat? And what does life look like if you were carrying the mat? And so let's read Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. And it says this: "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Would you pray with me? Hey God, this is your word. And as we open it up this morning, would you also open up our hearts? God, that in whatever situation we find ourselves sitting in our chairs today or standing up here, Lord, I just pray that you would seep in a little bit more. Would you seize our hearts today? Would you help us to know that you really are a change maker? That God, once again, whatever we find ourselves in right now, that God, you are asking us to look at you seriously and to listen to your Holy Spirit and be guided and directed by you. So God, this is your word. And would we let it change our hearts? In your holy name I pray, amen. It's kind of an interesting concept here. We pick up right away when Jesus has been doing all these miracles with people, and all of a sudden there's Pharisees and Sadducees sitting in there seeing if Jesus is really who he is. And so it actually starts out kind of in a way of just going, this cannot be true. This Jesus, we're going to really take a hard look at him. And so as I was preparing for this, I started thinking, it's a lot like you guys sitting here right now. There's some of you who have seen Jesus in your life and you've been like, yes, I've seen him working and I want to see him working. There are some of you who have been Christians forever and you're like, yeah, I know that God exists. There are some of you who are going, maybe Jesus is just all right with me, but I'm not going to do much more. And so really in this story, every single one of you find yourself as a listener to Jesus in this room. But the funny thing that I was thinking about is life is still going on outside of this room. There is a whole entire world all out there. We talk about it, right, in our church, that Jesus tells us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer ends of the earth. And so Jerusalem looks a lot like Glasgow, Montana. Judea looks a lot like Nashua, Hinsdale, Fort Peck, St. Marie. Opheim's way too far. We're not going to count them. I'm joking. And then some area out there, and then to the outer ends of the earth. There is still a world going on outside of here. Just like what's going on as Jesus is sitting there teaching these guys amazing things, right? Like they are sitting there going, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. And there's a whole nother world going on outside. And if you want to talk about a whole nother world going on outside, right? Like you can think of a person who's not in church today and you can assume probably what they're doing. Right? Either some of the people that we know, okay, are nursing off a hangover from last night, right? Okay? Or some of the people that we know just flat out just want to sleep in, right? Some of the people we know don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want to come near the house. Some of the people we know just don't know about Jesus. Run the gamut. Some of them are hurting right now because they've been in an accident and now they're down in a hospital bed. Some of them have had a really, really hard week. Some of them are at work. the whole gamut. And as Jesus is sitting there teaching, all of a sudden the room starts to make a lot of noise. It's not like this room is sitting here and it's just really quiet, right? I can imagine what would happen, right? Like maybe they start out with a little bit of scratching, right? Like have you ever been in a room and you hear that mouse just scratching, right? And it just drives you bonkers? I'm just joking. I was just trying to scare some of you. I hate mice. I would jump on my desk. But anyway, but just some sort of noise upstairs. If you want to hear it sounds like an elephant running across, just come on Tuesday nights to Bible study and hear the junior hires upstairs. It literally sounds like the roof is going to cave in. It's a little distracting. Not just a little, but a lot. And what happens? All of a sudden, this whole big old hole opens up in the roof. Can you imagine just us sitting here right now, right? Because we have the cool technology, I was thinking about this, like what would be like the best thing like to have happen? And I can think of like this helicopter, right? Just whooshing over our building, right? Like we can hear the rotors and all of a sudden it just like pulls off the building. Some of us would be mad, hey, that's our building. But other of us would be like, what in the heck is happening? Some of you would probably go get your guns. But anyway, so this hole opens up in there, and all of a sudden, this person who can't walk drops in the middle. I'm going to tell you that that is a huge, huge, huge inconvenience to us. A hole in the ceiling. I had something important to say. Why aren't you listening to me better? And Jesus just kind of goes with it, right? Here he is. And you know, if you'll notice something really crazy, this is what he says. He says, I see, and this helicopter, right? Like these guys are sitting there looking through this hole in the ceiling. And he's like, and they're like, hey, you can heal him. And he says something funny. He says, well, the Bible says he saw their faith and says, your sins are forgiven. So now imagine a guy who can't do anything for themselves comes in the middle of this room, and really the only reason why his sins are forgiven is because the other people, not because of him. Well, now we're starting to get into this idea of a free gift, right? I mean, I can imagine that, like, we've got people here who actually really know what's going on, right? Like, you have a broken leg, and so all of a sudden these doctors come around him and start fixing his leg, right? But then people in the room are sitting there going, wait a second. Wait a second. You can't do that. You can't just let a guy go scot-free and say, your sins are forgiven. You don't have that authority. You don't have that ability. And then Jesus, knowing exactly what they're thinking, says, what's easier, to forgive sin or to heal somebody? And I can imagine the Pharisees, just like in that little picture, like, what? What's going on here? I can just imagine them thinking and saying, what are you talking about? And he says to them once again, what's easier, to forgive sins or to tell this person to get up and walk? And all of us in this room would sit there and say what? It's easier for you just to say, hey, your sins are forgiven, and it'd be really hard for you to heal somebody. But in all reality, the very hardest thing is that the sins would be forgiven and not healing. You see, I think it's kind of funny. This verse kind of came up, and not this verse, but this quote came up this week when I was talking to some guys. And it's this, is that we keep looking for worldly solutions for spiritual problems. And so Jesus sits there and says, hey, you're healed. Get up, take up your mat and walk away. And it's phenomenal because the guy, what does he do? He takes up his mat, he rolls it up, and he walks out of the building. And everybody is absolutely amazed that day. It starts with, hey, I'm just going to hear this guy, whatever situation I'm in, I'm just going to listen to him. And every single one of them, Sadducees, Pharisees, normal people who don't have huge degrees like they do, and they just walk out. And they're all amazed. It's a great story. It's a pretty true story. Because we find out later on in the rest that the whole entire point of it is that Jesus does have the authority to forgive sin. Not only does Jesus have the authority to forgive sin, but he has the power to heal us. And so as I was just thinking about this story and knowing that Jesus has the authority to do it all, if Jesus has the authority and Jesus has the power, then why do we live some of the lives we live? Another friend of mine said it this way this week. He said, what's the point of living the same way if we've been forgiven? And so when I started looking at this story, I started wondering, okay, so what does it look like to live life on the mat? Being the guy who is hurting, who has the problem. What does it look like for the people all around the person and they are just sitting off the mat? And what does it look like to be the person carrying the mat? And so let's dive into that this morning and look at those three aspects of the story. And so if you've ever kind of dove into this story a little bit, one of the things they talk about is that they believe that the reason why Jesus started by saying your sins are forgiven is because the reason why he's on the mat is because of his sin. Now, here's the thing I want to make incredibly clear. Before you just start going to people outside and going, and if they're sick or hurting or whatever, I do not want you to start going and saying, hey, what sickness or what sin do you have? If you got, no, that's not what this story is about. And Jesus even incredibly speaks to that. He says, hey, don't go and look at somebody else's speck in their eye without looking at the log in yours. This is not a story about finding out the sin in somebody's life and going, you would just be healed if you don't have that sin anymore. It's not what that is about. It's not what we're saying, so get it out of your head, right? Okay? I was pretty blunt on that one, right? Yeah, good. This isn't even actually even a judgment call, right? How many of us make tons of judgment calls? Well, if he wouldn't have done this, he wouldn't be that way. If he was just better with his money, he wouldn't be having money problems. We make judgment calls about people all the time. Oh, those are just teenagers. That's what teenagers do, typical teenagers. I just want you to remember that when you were in high school and you were a teenager, you were a typical teenager, right? The story doesn't actually explicitly come out and say because of his sins he is this way. It doesn't come out and say that. The culture around asks a lot of questions, right? There was the guy who was born blind and they said, well, what sin does this guy have? And Jesus goes, he's nobody's sin. He was born this way to give God glory. But I think there's something curious about this story about life on a mat, because I think we know the truth about sin. And we've talked about this before, and I want to reiterate it, that sin literally is what separates us from God. Last week we talked about it, that when we ate the fruit from the tree that we were not supposed to, it absolutely says we started to be like God. We wanted to determine what was good and what was evil. Right? The word yada, which is, hey, we started this idea of we're going to determine more than what God knows about what's good and evil. And so then we automatically go, well, this is good. And we start actually like separating things out and making judgment calls. And so here's the deal, is the reason why I call that sin and it separates us is because God is the only one that gets to have that ability, not us. When we allow sin to enter into our lives and we want to have sin be determined for us to make us feel better about ourselves, it starts to do something interesting. Sin caused all kinds of evil and manifests itself emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Our sin literally keeps us from being whole. I'll give you some examples. I think sin does paralyze us, right? When we know we've done something wrong, we instantaneously become paralyzed by, wait a second, I don't want people finding out. And so we're not being whole. It shuns us. Maybe sometimes our sin literally is found out and people go, I don't want you to be around me anymore. We literally have tribes that do that. A guy sins and what do? Send him outside to the outside of the village to live there. And he's shunned. Sin is painful too, right? Sin causes self-doubt. Sin causes separation from God and others. Sin sends us into a tailspin of depression, self-loathing. Sin creates broken homes. Sin creates broken bones. Creates a lot of self-harm. But here's the deal that I love about this is the most important part of the story. The most important part of the story is not that this guy gets to get up and walk away from it. Because that's what we all want, right? We want the quick fix to our lives. Hey, we see it in all these movies. Hey, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll do X, Y, and Z for you, God. Oh, I promise that I'll be better at this. We all want the easy fix. But the most important part of the story is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. It's not necessarily the healing that's the most important part of this story. I mean, think of it this way. I've started to think about this over and over again, that what if you were the guy lying on the mat? It was really funny. Brian, I almost forgot your name. Unbelievable. That's incredible. Brian comes to our office today and goes, not today, the other day, and says, it's unbelievable. I was driving to work today and there's this guy, had his hood completely up, and this guy was like all bent up into the engine trying to fix it, right? And Brian goes, I never stop for these people, but I just decided, because Brian doesn't stop because he's callous, because he just doesn't know how to turn a wrench. So anyway, Brian is like, I can't help this guy. And so he leans over, right? And rolls down his window and he's like, hey, are you okay? The guy's like, oh yeah, no, I'm good. And Brian's like, are you sure? Because it doesn't look like you're good. Your hood's up, you're trying to fix something and nothing's running. You good? Oh yeah, I'm definitely good. I'm about to get this fixed. And so Brian just keeps driving, right? And at the rearview mirror, nothing's getting done. And the guy just doesn't shut his hood and get in and go, right? He just keeps driving, and then in the distance, he's like, well, I guess he's good. I mean, how many times do we do that with people? People come to us and say, hey, how's your day? I'm good. I'm great. Doing wonderful. And in the back of our minds, we are literally just getting done with a conversation with our wife and yelling at them and fighting. We're just trying to figure out, how am I going to pay X, Y, and Z in my life? And yet, we're sitting there on a mat, paralyzed, and everybody's like, I see that you ain't good, kid. I know you're not good. But yet we keep trying to say that over and over again. I think about this paralyzed guy, right? He's sitting there, and maybe something happened in his life. Maybe some sort of sin has taken him out. Could be financial ruin, right? Could be that he was just telling somebody, hey, watch this, and he was trying to be super prideful and tried to do a triple backflip and broke his leg. I don't know. But he's sitting there, and he's having a hard time. And I can imagine that his friends are like, are you doing okay today? Yeah, I'm good. Doing all right. Just another day in paradise. Gonna go pay the man. And he's sitting there hurting and having a really hard time. And his friends are not willing to listen to it because they know he's not good. I have a question. Would you ever be honest enough to tell people, I'm not doing good right now? I mean, I am an emotional wreck. I'm a hot mess. I got things going on like I just don't understand. For some of us, it might be that we're just trying to figure out what God wants us to do, and we're just like, hey, come alongside this crazy life of mine. I just don't know what's going on. To some of us going, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I wonder, would you be willing and honest enough to tell people, hey, I'm really on a mat right now, and I need some help. And we're going to get to it later, but the friends that you're actually saying I need help with, that'll determine what kind of company you're in. You see, I think that when our life is on the mat, when everything else is gone, forgiveness is really what we do need. Not a healed leg, not healed from our paralysis, because forgiveness is the place in which we can rebuild. It's a place we find restoration, not only for us, but actually for others. Because when we're in the place of actually giving other people forgiveness, maybe it releases them from their paralysis. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I'm going to tell you that forgiveness is immediate. Right? Jesus has died once for all on the cross, is what the Bible says. It is assured, meaning today you will be with me as you walk. It's right now. It's assured, and it is permanent. It's not like Christ is going to pull his forgiveness from you and say, nope, you're done, buddy. You've used your last card. Christ's forgiveness removes sin, which thereby allows us to work towards holiness. It allows us to work towards a sense of, I can be more like God, which is really funny. Because at the very beginning, we wanted to be like God in all the wrong ways. And with Christ, we could be more like God because he is the example we need to run with. Which brings us actually into the story of, hey, what is life like off the mat? Because when I look at this story, there's literally two types of people who are off the mat. Not map. I said map, I think. Mat. And the first one, I think, is the person who just kind of sits back and stares, right? How many people walked by the guy on the mat? How many people, day in and day out, just walked by going along their regular day, not wanting to be inconvenienced? And then there's the person who is off the mat, who has compassion, who wants to help. Because like I said before, we keep looking for worldly solutions for spiritual problems. Because a lot of us would walk by and we would go, well, hey, if that guy just had another job, he could pay for these things. Or if that guy just didn't do this, he wouldn't be in that mess. But none of us actually look at how do we help you walk a spirit-filled life? Because I think that is the key, right? If that we are on the mat and God is giving us forgiveness and we work towards holiness, we start having a completely different outlook on our life. We're no longer bystanders anymore, just walking by the mat. We actually become a part of the solution. We become sharing Christ. The problem is this is what happens. We start to make it about how many times we go to church. We start to make it about how many Bible studies are under our belt. Or we start to make it about the right words we say to one another. But I wonder if it's actually about the change of heart that only God can do. Because here's the problem. The world is used to people walking by mats. The world is used to people not helping at all. What if we were the people on the outside off the mat going by and going, I'm going to pick up that medical bill. I'm going to give food. I have an extra spare bedroom. What if it was just simply giving them the forgiveness that they needed? What if it was restoring the relationship that was lost? What if it was giving them a drink of water when nobody else will? What if it's giving a hug when nobody else will? And I'm going to tell you that I think that Jesus should be an inconvenience to our lives. Which brings me just to the next part of the world of a mat is, if that's the case, if Jesus should be an inconvenience to us, how do we look at that? How do we actually process that in our lives? Because at some point, somebody has to carry somebody in this story. I think it's kind of funny. What would happen if literally his friends just goes, you know what? We heard about this Jesus dude. You should just go be with Jesus. And then walk away from him. I mean, I've said this before, and I'll keep on saying this because I'm really working at it for myself, but what if we literally said, instead of just saying, hey, I'll pray for you, what if we actually prayed for them right there? I honestly remember doing this to somebody the other day. Somebody was asking me, I was like, hey, how's your week? And they're like, not good, and I'm pretty ashamed of this, and they just said, well, this is what's going on, and I literally did this, I'll pray for you. And then I walked away because I was super busy. Jesus should be an inconvenience in our lives. Meaning, I'd much rather do the things of Jesus than my own things. Because it takes people, I don't know if there was four, I'm just assuming there was four, right? One on each corner of the mat. What if there was like eight? What if there was 10? What if there was only one? Because I think that the friends looked at their friend on the mat and said, no, Jesus is what you need, and I'll go to any lengths to help you figure that out. That means a lot of forgiveness happens. That means a lot of work has to be done. That means that we may have to dig out tiles at the top of a house just to get them to see Jesus. Maybe it means one more prayer. Maybe it means just going one more time to them and saying, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? I was a horrible example of Jesus to you. Because when we're being carried on the mat, I think it's interesting that in that moment, that both healing and forgiveness are possible with God. That in that moment when we, that person, we, the person we're carrying, are sitting there going, I know that Jesus is the best way to go. I love this statement that Brian has been sharing with his kids because I think about the healed man in this situation, and I think about the forgiveness and the healing that's possible through God. And Brian says this to his youth students. He said, what's the point of living the same way when we've been forgiven? Hey, thanks, Jesus. You're awesome. And not change a single thing in our lives. I love this picture that we see in the story that Jesus says, get up and pick up your mat. The thing that I still find funny is that, guess what? He still has to pick up his mat. He just doesn't walk away from it. It doesn't mean like everything is absolved. He still has the memories. He still has the consequences of what's going on. He still has to roll it up. It's still a burden. I thought of this picture right here is, what if we realize that, hey, we were forgiven and we actually started living unburdened lives. And then all of a sudden we heard Jesus say, pick up your mat. How many of you guys have a queen-size bed in your house? Can you imagine lifting up your bed and walking around with it? Still a burden. Still huge. Some of you have one of those Tempur-Pedic foam mattresses that are heavier than all get out, right? I told my wife I want to switch to a hammock so it can be light. But could you imagine that? Like, this guy still has to keep some of his stuff that's going on with him. He still has to deal with it. It's not that it just disappears. It's that God gives him a new way to manage it. God gives him a new way of looking at it and seeing at it and saying, I've got you. We can take care of this together. So are we paying attention to people? Do we love them? Are we earnest about where we're at? Do we persevere when we need to seek forgiveness just a little bit more? Or do we simply just try once and are done with it? Does God see the faith in you like he does the friends? I thought it was interesting. I asked Tim Phillips the question this morning. I said, how would your life look different if you knew that for a fact that Jesus was coming back tomorrow? Would you still take your nap this afternoon? Would you still just turn on the TV and watch the sports games? Would you actually go to a friend and say, I know you're struggling and I know you're not good. And I know we're not good. I need to ask for forgiveness and I need to forgive you. But more importantly, what about the forgiveness that God offers? What about the gift that God offers in terms of healing? Because I still believe that Jesus performs these exact miracles today. He sees our faith, our need, and our thoughts. He forgives our sins. He saves our souls and oftentimes heals our body. But the deal is that forgiveness is the place where it all starts. Forgiveness is the foundation in which we can move forward and not be burdened by any of those things anymore. So as we worship, I'm going to invite the worship band to come up, and we're going to finish out a couple of songs. But I think we have to realize something. I think we have to realize the forgiveness that we have in Christ, because it moves us forward into everything else. And so I ask you every week when we look at this, and so what? So what? I have a question. Do you know somebody in your life who hasn't experienced the forgiveness of Christ yet in their lives? Do you know somebody who is still sitting on a mat paralyzed? Are you still paralyzed? Do you need forgiveness? And so during these songs, I just pray that you do a little bit of work in your own hearts. To go, God, where do I need to kind of come back? Where do I need to actually look at life differently? Do you need some friends to surround you? Do you need to pray, God, I need some friends to surround me in this area? Do you need to surround friends? And so I'm going to give you a challenge, actually, okay? If you need a friend, would you actually tell somebody, I'm not good? I'm not okay. I'm hurting. I need some help. And if somebody comes to you and says that and you've heard this message, I hope it is a huge inconvenience to you for the idea that the glory of God is shown in that situation. Because that's huge, being able to love somebody. And if you know somebody who's not good, hey, here's a great suggestion. At the very least, ask them, how can I pray for you right now, and do it. Invite them to church. Maybe do something crazy and help with whatever need they have, physically, mentally, spiritually, not mentally, but emotionally. And I'll give you a great out. Just be telling people, hey, next week we're going to be talking about Jesus and his teachings, because we're going to take communion next week together as a church. What a great way to invite a friend. Hey, come experience church to me. How would your life be different if you knew that there was a guy who could help out your friend? I'll let you take it.
song. It sings about God being faithful and strong. And, you know, it's if you have social problems like I do, and it's a struggle for you to talk to people sometimes, when you're just face-to-face, we got to remember that it's His strength that works through us, and those are the works that are prepared for us to give Him glory. And someday you change a life or two, you realize that you may not see that person again, you never know, on this earth, but you'll see them in a place where we're forever worshiping and loving our Lord.
His love endures forever. 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 His love endures forever.
Hopefully we'll be together forever. We're all in that spot. And last song, we're going to just do the song that Kyle and Brent used for their one of their wedding songs. This is a song that's become our giving of our heart to our Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus is way awesome. And so when he does something spiritual, oftentimes there's a physical representation in the gospel so we can try to picture it. And so Jesus says, follow me. And so the physical representation of that is this guy picking up the thing that has been troubling him his whole life and the thing he needed to be forgiven from, and he picks it up and he starts to follow Jesus. And I think it would be really weird if he then left the building and went outside that building where he was just dug through the roof and this miracle happened and he was forgiven of all of his sins, and he went outside and he sat back down on his mat. And his friends got back outside the house and they're like, oh, all right, back to normal. And they picked him up and brought him back to where he was supposed to go. But in my head, I picture this guy then walks with these friends, however many there were, 4, 5, 2, 7, and they pick up the next guy and bring him to Jesus. And so my call and what I feel, God, after listening to Seth and reading through the scripture, the call I feel is like, once we're forgiven, once we realize who Jesus is, don't go back to your mat. Don't live in that thing. So much ringing. Don't live. Don't live in it.
Turn and run away, but don't forget that you are brave, so put your glove.